Looks like you're the only one here. There'll be more in a minute. We are a little early. Hello, I am Isawellen, and this is Isawellen Writes Grown Up Story Time. I am actually not telling a story. I am interviewing. There, I turned down the volume a little bit. Maybe you can hear me better. It is Saturday. It still feels like Wednesday to me. But it is Saturday, and it is part two of Women Writing Men with special guests Working Hands. I'm going to call him Hands, hopefully, and Johnny J. Hammer, who is coming from the East Coast also. And I hope that he finds time in his busy schedule to actually pop in. I don't know. I looked in his Twitter feed, and I think he had another gig or something this weekend. The man is very busy. So I would love to have him. I know there are lots of people that have been talking about this particular podcast all week, as I have been, and Wednesday's podcast. The feedback has been very good on Facebook and on Twitter, and just people reaching out to me to let me know that this was amazing, and they got a lot out of it. There was one comment, actually, all the way from New Zealand. So this is live, we record live, all my mistakes, all the things that I do that are wonky and dorky and fluffer, nutter, puffer, you know, crazy, is all here and present, because I am just going to take this and then I turn around and upload it. So we record live, and then I turn around and upload it, and then people can listen to this anytime you want. So you can get all the information. If you haven't listened to the first one, it is up on the podcast in the rolls of podcasts that I've done so far this year. I haven't even looked to see how many I've done, but because of you listeners, you amazing people, I have over 1,000 downloads since October. I think it's something like 1,200 now. And last Wednesday's podcast was actually one of the most listened to, downloaded that I had. And that's amazing. The ones where I read are like, people are just like snorefest. Whatever. While I'm talking and waiting for people to come and arrive, Hans is in the studio and has already attempted to call in, and I'm just going to have you wait a few more minutes to do that. But so he knows how to do it. That's awesome. I see you, Dare. Dare is here from Wednesday. He's come to manage the corral. while I have you captive, somebody asked me if I would do one for men writing women, if I would have women on that would answer men's male writers' questions. And, you know, the reason I started this, the idea came from the way there have been some pretty negative threads about men writing women, but it became this great information thing, this information mining, literal research thing. And I think that would be a ton of fun to have men ask women all of their questions. It's just easier than looking it up on Google. It's real life. And I already have somebody who's promised to come on and just be honest. I mean, I could do it, but like, I'm the host, right? I'm the host, so I can't be the one to answer all the questions. And besides, you don't care about me. You don't need to know my answers. But yes, if I had to, I could. I never turn down a challenge. I tend to respond. I tend to respond to a challenge. So, yeah, we do. Yeah, sure. There is Mr. Ham. So yay, awesome. I am like impressed. Both my guests are here. So we might as well go ahead and get started. If you click the head button with the plus sign on it, hey, you can call right in. Both of you are here. There are two guests this evening, and we're going to be answering some amazing questions. One, I'm turning my music off so I can.
Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you. I can hear.
Excellent.
This is Hans. Johnny, if you can call in too from where you are, hit the button. There should be a button with a head where it says call in. You can call right in too. Hans, how you doing?
I'm doing very well.
You're doing very
I'm
well.
I'm currently shoveling French fries into my face. So
shoveling french fries into your face. Oh, that's just great podcasting behavior. Munching into the microphone. We love that. Are you having trouble calling in, Johnny? Yeah, we love that. So while Johnny's trying to call in, I'm hoping this is going to work. You can call in. If you can't, I'm just going to leave you right there and you can type in your answers and I'll read them. But you had storms yesterday.
We did. We had a huge electrical storm, knocked out most of the power to Austin, Texas, and where I live just outside in the hill country. It was really pretty.
Yeah, real pretty. I bet. Did you get any good pictures?
No good pictures. I was staying inside and away from it.
Inside and away and hiding out. Maybe that's NJ Limmer. That's not Johnny. That's NJ Limmer. I can't read. She's like, what are you talking about? I see you, hon. So I can't tell who anybody is. And, you know, the writing is really small. And we already established that I make a lot of mistakes. So I'm still waiting for Johnny to come. He isn't here because I can't read. It says NJ, and there's Zane. So anyways, you had storms. And how much water did you get? You were saying it was pretty wet, and you showed a picture of like this wet work area.
We probably got around 2.5 to 3 inches in about an hour.
Oh, you know, yeah. I'm in a state where people are like, oh, we can't go there. It rains all the time. We don't want to go there. But it does. It rains through the winter. We have a lot of gray skies, but we do not generally get 2.5 inches in an hour. It happens. It's fairly rare, though. So, Daryl wants to know, isn't it usually dry hands? Why are you getting that kind of rain in Texas?
Welcome to global warming. Weather patterns are shifting, and it's last year we had the wettest summer probably that we've ever had. And this year is shaping up to be about the same.
Yeah. Zane, if you could tweet this out and tag Johnny, just in case. But our weather's been weird. It's not, I can't say that global warming has affected it locally here, because it's just always, I grew up in my area. And so, you were there, NJ Limmer, you were there in the light show last night. So same area. Wow, that's interesting. And the power went out. I saw the map. I'm like, oh, well, that's a huge, you know, Texas is huge. We were talking about the plague, the virus, and, you know, Europe compared to America, you know, and how England could fit inside of Texas, and just the difference between populations when you look at the map and all the red spots. It's really scary and stuff. But then you put parts of Europe in Texas, and it's like, oh, well, okay, let's get a little perspective on size. You know, you
it's
could
a very
put
big place.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very big place. I have been to I think I've been through Dallas. I had family in El Paso. El Paso is not my favorite place in the world, but you know, it's okay. It's okay. My husband calls it that was Reno, so never mind. Anyway, so since you're here and I'm waiting on Mr. Johnny, which I was, you know, happens, I want you to tell me about your writing. I know you have your blog and your website, which is really interesting. And you've written about, you know, being a dominant in your life and everything, but you also have creative writing and you also write poetry. So why don't you just brag on yourself a little bit, and no shame.
I'm bad at bragging on myself. Self-promotion is not my strong suit.
Oh, come on. You can do it. Tell me who you are as a writer. Be proud of your words. Your words have power. Okay. So come on.
Well, I'm an erotica writer. I write short stories mostly, but I am currently in the process of writing a novel. I write poetry because it's fun and I enjoy it. Usually I just post it online through Twitter or on my blog. Sometimes I'll just go on a wild hair, and all of my replies on Twitter for the day will be in the form of poems. But
I love that poetry. That's my writing. I've done some poetry slams on Twitter that with Dare and with he's got this beautiful last name, Zahn. I'm not even going to try and say it. Where, you know, we've gone from, you know, erotic poetry to just the ridiculous. Thank you, Dare, for sharing that. There's Hans's blog. Thanks, we've gone from the erotic poetry to just the hilarious of the poetry. And, and it is.
That's the best.
It is. I found, okay, so we'll have to do this then. We'll have to, because it'd be fun to do with different people. There is a website that has 400 euphemisms for sex. That is a lot of dirty poetry right there.
I probably had about 75 in my blog about anal.
Oh yeah, I bet. Well, and it covers everything. It's like, it can be, you know, it's not just intercourse sex. Some of it is crossover, you know, sex. Because I also looked up the euphemisms for lady body parts and men body parts, and some of those are also on the list. But there are also the same website has like 100, or I don't know, but it's so fun. So I use that as my dictionary because I'm not as smart as people think I am. And I just go and I slam that stuff down. Yeah, a little bit, because you can't, I mean, really, how many can you keep in your head? And some of these are from around the world. There are actually some from England and stuff. I have no idea what they, or Canada, I don't know, but no idea what they mean. And yes. Absolutely. They just don't make sense to me to be a sex euphemism. It just doesn't really cross over very well. So, but that's fun to do.
Fun.
Yeah, they can be. They can be. I don't use them very much when I write. Do you, I mean, when you're writing erotica, are you, I've read some erotica actually on Amazon, and I'm like, you know, you pull open the page and it's using the, and you're like, oh my gosh, who wrote this? Nobody uses clam bucket, you know, just some of the fish words and all these, you're like, I'm like, okay, I'm not finishing this, return it, you know, and it's Kindle Unlimited, but the poor author only gets paid for a co- I'm sorry. That's funny. That's not.
Exactly. I would use that in a comedy situation.
Yeah.
But I would never use that in serious writing.
Unless you're writing to make people kind laugh, of stand up. Sure. Yeah, exactly. You don't use that. And there's some women writers that, I don't know. They write under a woman's name that sometimes do stuff like that too. Not the real extreme, but they'll do some other words that aren't euphemisms for Dare. He's good at this. Yes, exactly. That's it too. And that same thought catalog has the ones for vagina and penis. Yes, it does. But yeah, okay. So I have questions that are specific for a dominant, actually.
Bring them on.
I don't know if you read a lot of romance, but dominant males are very, very popular in across range, across romance, in sweet romance, in the daddy dom romance, in the sweet daddy dom romance, in the bondage, in mafia romance, in paranormal romance, in like dark. It is the dominant male is a very big top seller. He wouldn't let me tag and tweet his live. Okay, awesome. I'm reading. But so it's a big top seller. And a lot of the questions, I got a couple questions like from women, is that do men like that really exist? And what is the difference between dominant in the bedroom, where I know you tend to be reign supreme, and in life? There, I know a couple men that are just dominant in every way, shape, or form in life as well. They're a little bit on the control side of just everything, and they know that, but it makes long-term relationships hard. So, so that's what my question for you is. How
I would
true?
Answer yes and no.
How true is the myth of the alpha male? Have you Are you one? Have you met others?
No.
Go ahead and just go ahead and
not an alpha male in quotes, air quotes here.
It's okay.
The alpha male kind of trope is in some ways true, in some ways not. There are people like that out there. Usually we just refer to them as asshats.
Sorry. That was really loud.
Because, you know, these people do not respect personal space. They don't respect, you know, values or your own, you know, morals or things like that, usually, because, you know, that's not what they want, and it's all about what they want. You know, there's a lot of narcissism there, and yeah, so they exist, but it's not generally a healthy thing in the dominant community for, you know, someone to be an alpha male outside of a BDSM dynamic, because then they end up trying to dominate everyone around them. And that's not taken well, especially by other dominants.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, just being a female who likes to be the top wolf in the pack. Right. I don't want to be told what to do by other women. And I'm older too.
And the submissives don't appreciate it either, because, you know, they're either looking for a specific type of partner, or they're already partnered with someone and they don't want someone else horning in on that, basically. So yeah, asshats.
I have met on Twitter, there are a lot of people a lot of accounts that say they are, and I'm not, I think,
I think they use the term differently.
But the men that I have met on Twitter that are not, okay, so let me just, they don't advertise, they don't put it out there, that's not their big persona, that's not who they sell themselves as, but when you get into their sphere, in their territory, it's like, yeah, it's you can feel it because you're in on their terms, and they do not leave their territory, period. You have to be invited in. And once you're in, and then you can have some communication, but they're not going to come to you. They're not going to. And so it's a whole different thing than some of the other people who are accounts who are trying to sell or cultivate or build or whatever, right? Because the two dominants are, they're very controlled. Nobody's tried to control me or anything, but they're very self-controlled in the extreme. And so, and they don't break that self-control for anybody. And so I have met two. And that's in my lifetime too. I have not, personally, I don't think I've ever met anybody like that. Maybe-ish, not really though. Just stubborn. but there was just something about knowing that, you know, that I have to wait to be invited into their territory to interact, and that it's on their terms, that it hit me. That's like, okay, this is different. I've not experienced this before. And just let me know, because I'm a little bit like that too. I like to people to come. I'm not a dominant. I'm just a little bit of a control freak that way. And yeah, so I recognize that. I would say, some people would say I'm a dom, but I'm not. I'm a submissive who has to have respect for a dominant, I guess. I don't submit to anybody. I'm just, you know, that has to be earned.
There's actually a term for that. It's called an alpha submissive.
Yeah, my friend was telling me about that. She's like, she's an alpha. And when she was younger, she was a very submissive, but now she's in her 30s. She knows what she wants. She's not going to mess around. She's, you know, she knows the difference between
an alpha. Actually really healthy.
Yeah. So that would be more what I would be. I'm not, I don't. Yeah. So That's what, and so when I walked into the dominance territory, I'm like, okay, this is different. I can feel this. I can sense it. I know that I'm here. I know that I'm on his terms, and that's all I'm getting. There's no manipulating. There's no teasing. There's no working around it. I'm only going to get, and that was a new experience for me, because being surrounded by men who are not so much, I can usually find another way in. And so that kind of male exist. Are they all asshats, though?
Well, the ones that push that on other people, I would consider, yes. But those that, like you described, have their own territory and, you know, aren't out there advertising. And most good dominants don't advertise that they're a dominant.
Yeah.
You know?
I put myself
out there just because, you know, I enjoy being able to express myself in that way, and it helps promote my writing.
So yes.
Nothing bad there.
No.
But yeah, most dominants don't advertise. And if you were to meet me in real life, you would never know. Yeah.
Because it's in your bedroom. I mean, when I talk to you and when I, you know, like you're very welcoming. There's a different sense to you. And, but I can believe that you can be that way in the bedroom in your private time with somebody who's agreed to be that way. I don't have any problem with believing that. That's not a huge stretch, you know. But the alpha male, I think that women were asked, because somebody asked, another question was, they read books where the alpha male wants all the control. And, you know, after being a woman for a long time, having so much control, sometimes you just want somebody else to do it. Please make the decisions. Please decide what I'm going to eat. I do not care anymore what I'm going to eat. Please, if you want to tell me what to wear, I am okay with that. I am so tired of making decisions. So, you know, there are books about that and women who want that, but having somebody want that kind of responsibility, somebody asked, is that real? Are there men out there who would want that?
Absolutely. I'm one of them.
That would just feed your, so what would be your main kink? You know, if that would,
I couldn't even choose one main kink. I've got such a long list, which, you know, makes me very versatile in that.
Yes.
You know, most of the time when I'm in a relationship with a submissive, there's very little that they could bring up, like, oh, I'm into this, that I'm not also into. So yeah, it makes it easy.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you did talk about a whole suitcase. Oh, wait, there's Johnny.
Yeah,
hold
the
on.
Suitcase.
Sorry, I was at... Okay, hold on. I got to type to Johnny. Why don't you tell me what was... What is in a suitcase? What does a dominant carry on a suitcase? Okay, let's say, just because I'm asking, if you were going on a weekend with your sub, nobody asked this question, but what would you pack? What would be the first 10 things you pack?
Everything.
Everything.
Come it on, all fits in the suitcase. It's got rolling wheels. I might as well take it all. You know, I'm talking vibrators, toys, plugs, rope, lots of rope, clips, clamps, spreader bar, which I posted a picture of when I finished making it on Twitter. It's really pretty. Different spanking implements, different ways of attaching to objects, cuffs. Yeah, the whole shebang.
Have you gotten to use all of those toys?
No. I have new toys that I haven't gotten a chance to use.
You have new toys that you haven't even gotten a chance
limited.
To use. Yes, time is always limited. okay. So another question was, what do you, There he is. If you want to call in, Johnny.
Hey, there he is.
I forgive you. We're talking to hands too, but you can hop on and call right in. I'm so glad to have you here. I forgive you for being at the bar. I hope you had a good time there. What do you get out of it as a dom? That was one of my questions too. What, because this pleasure seems all one-sided.
Oh no, no. Pleasure is not one-sided. A dominant, part of being a dominant is knowing your submissive well enough to know what brings them pleasure. And then finding a dynamic which, you know, gives me the control and gives them pleasure in submitting that control to me. It takes a very special type of submissive in order to do that, which is why not everybody's a submissive and why not every dominant works with every submissive. But yeah, pleasure goes both ways or else it doesn't work.
Well, I would assume so. I mean, you don't have headphones or earbuds. What are you doing? Are you still at the bar? Can you borrow some? Jackhammer doesn't have headphones or earbuds. Didn't I tell you to get headphones or earbuds? You're going to have to text your answers. You agree with the Dom statement? I have so many questions for you too, man. That's good. Sex, that it goes both ways. I would wait, you'll find some. Okay, I got time. We've been here half an hour though, but I got time. So that was one of the questions. Like, is it just, I mean, I know that you get to command the sub to do certain things to you, but if you're always giving her pleasure, taking her to the edge of pleasure, that was one of the questions. And you answered the one about toys. I'll have to ask, I'm fairly sure that do you use toys for you or just for her?
Not so much for me. You know, some doms do, but for me, I really enjoy seeing a submissive have toys used on them and their reactions and their mental state. And, you know, I'm constantly monitoring everything because that gives me this immense feeling of power and control, which I love.
So, and the immense feeling of power and control. I am not going to answer that call, Safari. I'm sorry. I'm interviewing two people today and I'm waiting for somebody else to call in, actually.
Jack. With duct tape.
I know. Right? Yes, Hitachi, well tied up. You got to get some headphones, dude. Johnny, get some headphones. Go get some earbuds. Plug them in. But the Hitachi tied up. I can't. You guys, geez, just give me a minute. Okay. Breathe. Breathe. Okay. So you like the control, and is that part of your pleasure point? I mean, could you get, if you were in a more vanilla relationship, would you not be as pleasured because you didn't have control like that?
Tough question. I would say it's different. You know, I would still enjoy a vanilla relationship, but the mental state that you're in as a dominant, as opposed to when you're in a more vanilla setting, even with a submissive or someone else, is very different. And there's pleasure to be found both ways, but yeah, it's definitely something that I could do and I wouldn't have any problem with it, but it's very different.
It's very different.
Yeah.
I would assume so. I mean, which would be your truer self?
Oh, the dominant.
Oh, the dominant.
That question.
Okay. Good Lord. Okay. So other questions for the dominant. You told me that and we'd ask that. And So you have kind of, you have to make, you were talking about knowing the sub and understanding the sub's needs and all of that. How, I'm just going to, this isn't one of the questions, but since we're on this, how do you find a sub? How does that even begin to happen? How do you make that connection?
Open communication. You know, you meet someone and you just openly start telling them, this is who I am. You know, if you're interested, you know, this is what I'm offering. And, you know, some people will be like, oh yeah, let me learn more. And some people will be like, nah, that's not for me. there's websites like FetLife where you can, you know, interact with other people that are in the lifestyle.
I am not on FetLife, but I know people who are.
Yeah. Honestly, I have a profile on there, but it's not something I interact with on a regular basis just because there's a lot of very cliquish people on there, and that's just not my scene.
Yeah.
You know, if it is for you, great. You know, enjoy.
It's
but
cliquish.
It's not for me.
Huh. It's different than I thought it was. I just thought it was like another, you know, kind of interesting data. I haven't so I haven't checked it out. I don't know. I had a couple people that's like, no research, you know, because I write on the darker end, not darker, but more erotic end of the spectrum. I know more, I tend to know, hang out with more erotica authors than I do sweet authors. And we do a lot of research.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Going into the darker places and the things we research. It's like somebody posted about I'm probably not saying it right, Shimbari.
And, Shimbari.
Yes, yeah. And had
it's
done
also
a whole
called Kimbaku.
Yes, Kimbaku. And I had never heard of Kimbaku, but I had been doing some research for something else quite a while ago and came across Shimbari. And I thought, oh, that's the most amazing, beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. No, that would probably, and it's not supposed to really actually, it can hurt, but if you do it right, you can do it so it doesn't hurt. However, I do not have a dancer's body.
You can do it both ways.
Yes, I do not have the dancer's body. And so I guess I'm never going to get to be hung up in between the rafters in a beautiful pose for hours. No, that's not.
And yeah, wait, sure you could. You just need more.
No, I'm way too old now. Out of shape. Maybe in a year but I do not have the muscle tone to even withstand that. So that came across. I found that out about research, and I've always been fascinated.
Here's something most people don't really understand about Shibari or Kimbaku. The time that goes into creating.
Oh no. If I read a character, it takes hours. It can take hours. Yeah, it is. And each knot, and then you get them there. And then it's because, you know, it's being Asian. It's very, I imagine the whole setup is extremely ritualistic and has an atmosphere that is, you know, it's not this chatty atmosphere where everybody's, I would think getting that headspace, it would be a little bit different. I don't know, but.
It is. And I
you have ropes. Do you do knots? Do you do that kind of stuff?
I do some. I'm still learning.
It can be quite dangerous as well. So, you know.
It can be. You have to know anatomy, and you have to have, you know, different safety equipment on hand, like scissors or shears or things like that, in order to quickly free someone if they use a safe word. You always want to be aware of their physical condition and their mental state. But, yeah.
Yes, if anything turns blue, cut off the ropes.
yeah, that's a good indicator.
That's what I got from the article. It was like, yes, and when the body starts to turn blue, you're losing oxygen, and that they're near death. So that's generally when they cut them down.
Generally, it's long before that.
That was from the torture part of the history of it, though.
Yeah.
Johnny, hurry up and find earbuds. Okay, so we have been other things that, you know, you're on Bluetooth. Okay, well, if you can call in on Bluetooth, You crack me up, man. If you can't do it tonight, we could do
poor
it.
Poor Johnny.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
He lives.
Oh, fantastic. That was a challenge. Technology is not my strong point.
I'm sorry that you're cracking me up.
I'm sorry.
I thought I asked you to have earbuds. Maybe I forgot. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't say earbuds. You just told me you said that I had to log in and download the podcast. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm sorry. Then it's my fault. I'll take the blame and stop laughing at you.
No, it's okay, babe. Don't worry about it.
I am so glad you guys could come on. There, I have like so many questions for you two. I've had a chance to go through Hans's mind, but now I need to find out from you. What were you saying about the Hitachi?
Oh, no, it's like what he was saying with the Dom thing. It's like he likes to use the toys on the people. It's like, so I like to like have the people, if possible, to have their like arms suspended above their head, maybe like a blindfold. And then you take the Hitachi and you start, up at the face area, and then you go down and you play with their nipples a little bit, then you work your way down the stomach, and then you tease them a little with it. You don't give it all. Yes. Okay. Are you a good girl? You a good girl? It's stuff like that. You just don't. Go ahead, ma'am. I'm sorry.
No, I know. I got to breathe through this. So you're going to have to not be saying good girl, okay? I have to get through this interview.
Are you a good girl or a bad girl?
So, yeah, no, stop. I know that you do. I've not seen you do that kind of content. I mean, I kind of scroll through your feed every now and then. And I'm not paying for my porn right now.
I have not done that kind of content.
Yeah. So do
no,
you?
No, I have is not that- done that kind of content on film. I was a swinger for 8 years before I got into porn. Ah. And that's how I got into the porn industry.
Okay. So that's how you, that's no, your it personal wasn't, thing. That's your personal
thing. Yeah, I was engaged for like a year. That didn't work out. And so I went to Vegas and like, I'm 37 now. So 7 years ago, I went to Vegas in December just to blow off steam. And I was out there. My buddy I was in the Navy with, he worked at the casino. So their busy nights are, Fridays and Saturdays. So he's like, hey, are you going to be okay? I was like, yeah, bro, I'm in Vegas. I'll figure it out. So I Googled sex clubs Las Vegas, and I walked into the famous green door. And I felt like I was the blonde with big tits at the bar. because it was single guy night, and I felt like, I was 30 or 31. I felt like I was a fresh piece of meat. You know what I mean? It was like, wow, where has this been my whole life?
Right? That's fine.
And then when I moved to New Jersey, I met a couple there, and a husband suggested, hey, the wife would like to maybe try to get into the porn industry. We haven't found anyone that is willing to have their face on camera. I was like, bro, that's my dream. It was just all the barriers as a new person not living in LA, Vegas, or Miami. It's like they all, and no offense to gay people, I'm just not gay. They all want you to do, homosexual pornography. And it's like, I'm all right. Yeah. But if you don't have like a resume, quote unquote, then it's like they don't know if you're reliable. They don't know if you can get up. They don't, they don't know you. So it's like the only way to get in without a female helping you is to the gay scene. So it's like my entire 20s was just like, oh, we could help you out, but you would have to do this. Like, I'm all right.
I had somebody ask me about the difference between the female, the women's, content and the men's content, because the women's, it's, they have twice as many followers because the men are so thirsty, and the men's content is a little bit harder. It's, like the women you film with have this content or have followers compared to, you're growing. Okay. But compared to other male performers, the male performers seem to be like handful, and the women are, is that making
as
sense?
A male porn star? Yeah, it makes perfect sense. As a male porn star, most of your fans are going to be gay. because women don't have to buy porn. Seriously, as a woman, you don't have to buy porn. You could walk down the street and you can ask probably 90% of men, "Would you like to have sex with me?" And they'll say yes. It doesn't work the same for us. You know what I mean? It's a different story. You know?
That is a really unique perspective, and that's an important perspective because.
But here's the thing: those women that are in the industry, they have it's not as like glamorous as it looks. They have like guys who are stalkers, guys who are nut jobs, guys who are this, guys who are that. And there's this guy on Twitter right now. He said he's a self-proclaimed ex-pimp or whatever. So he's finding people's personal information and he's like outing them to their families to get out of sex work because he thinks it's evil.
Oh my gosh. I've seen you defend women before on Twitter and stuff and just go down with some of these creeps that, you know.
It's a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, curse. This guy.
No, it's okay. We're not safe for work. You can't.
Cursing is just fine.
Okay.
We're talking about sex, so you can cuss.
Well, I'm sorry. Okay.
No, you're good.
But no, it's like, it's just a job. But the women have it so much. I mean, the psychological point, when they show up on shoots, sometimes it will be like, that we're casting you for this. Oh, but what do you feel about this now? And then, like, what about the coronavirus? Like, what if you're not a big name? Like, I can't even think of someone that's huge right now. Kiss of Sins, that's just a name that comes off the top of my head. What if you're not that person and you don't have a backlog of content to sell and your only job is, you know, the adult industry? So, like, what do you do?
Like,
what do you do? It's a sad state of affairs. These women, they deal with so much psychologically. They deal with so much with, like, sometimes fans, I mean, I love my fans, but fans sometimes get a little overzealous. Hey, I bought your video. Now you owe me this. It's like, I really don't. Thank you, but I don't owe you anything. Thank you, though.
Yeah.
As a man, I get that, but I can only imagine the women. I mean, they have to deal with a lot.
I know some erotic audio artists who sometimes have to deal with that. It's a little bit different, but same concept. So I want to get back to my questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Johnny, what confuses you most about women?
Confuses me most about women.
And then hands you can
damn,
answer.
That's a tough question. No, that is a tough question.
You don't have us all figured out. Come on.
No, I don't. I'm trying to think of something that really confuses me. Women get a lot more involved mentally than men do. Like, sex for women, don't get me wrong, women probably have better orgasms than men, I can guarantee that. But it's more of a mental game for them. And that confuses me. It's like, for me, it's obviously I like to have a mental connection with someone I love, that it makes sex better, but I don't need that. For a woman, I think that they need to have some kind of mental connection with someone to fully enjoy themselves. And that confuses me.
That confuses you.
I really don't need that.
Yeah, I like that you said that. That's great that you pointed that out. It's true for some women more than others, just to answer your question.
Some women just have that primal instinct.
Yep. Hans, what do you think? What confuses you most about women?
Hints. Hinting about Hints? Things. They just don't work. Not at all. Yeah, I mean, if you have to hint around a gold brick and hit me up the backside of my head, it absolutely would not take.
So
yeah. I agree 100% with you, and I'm glad you said that, because it's like, here's the thing with men. We're simplistic. Women think that we're complex beings. Men are the most simplistic beings on the planet Earth. Just tell us. If you don't like me, say you don't like me. If you like me, tell me you like me. Don't like...
Yes.
I've been in that situation when I was like maybe 20 or 21. It's like, I thought a girl liked me, so I like kept texting her. Like, just tell me you don't want me to text you and I'll stop. You know, it's like, you live and learn. Because, you know, you're 20, 21. You don't know anything about anything, you know?
No, it's true.
No, I agree with you on that. The hints.
That's a good one. Hints. Yeah. Okay, don't do hints. Just be direct. Actually, I'm pretty direct.
No, just be direct. Be open, be honest. That works much, much better. Better results. Be less
do you like to? Well, this is why you get hints, because women like to be chased. Do you like to be chased or to chase?
Oh, I love neither. To be chased.
Oh, you love to be chased.
I love to be chased. That's such a fucking. Sorry, I won't say sorry. Again, but that is such. That is such like. If I could, like, aggressive women who know what they want, like Scandinavian women. Like, I went to Norway on vacation one time, and they're so, because the men over there are more beta. The women are more alpha. And it was like, when you go over there, and I have a little bit of an accent. When you go there, you sound like an American. Yeah, they sound like an American. They'll just come up to you and start talking to you. When you feel pursued, when you feel like, for instance, when I used to go to swing clubs, it was like I would walk in there and you could just feel the eyes on you. It was like, oh, this is awesome. You know what I mean? I love being pursued.
That's
it's
funny.
An ego what trip.
Did, yeah, I can. What, yeah, okay, that's good to yeah, know. How about you, Hans? Did you say?
Neither one or the other.
Really?
Not pursued or pursuer.
Not a pursued or pursuer.
Hans, are you like a big time Dom guy? Like,
no,
I mean, I don't know you that well. Is that your?
Okay. He's not.
Well, I mean, is that your thing though? Is that your lifestyle?
That's his lifestyle. Yes.
Well, okay. I don't mean big time as far as celebrity, but as far as what you want and what you go for is like you're always the Dom guy.
Yes. Yeah, I discovered it very
okay,
early.
Okay, so that's
life,
why.
And that's. Yeah. Something that I've always enjoyed.
So that's why you don't like to be pursued, because you're not in control of the pursuit.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's why you don't like it.
I'm not
I get
in control.
That. I 100%
and
get that.
I don't like to pursue because I feel like I'm imposing on someone.
It's not worth
who's
your
not
time.
Their
oh, you're too much of a gentleman. So you're like,
no, it is. It's not. As someone with a dominant mindset, you're not going to pursue someone because it's like it's not worth my time. If you don't like me, you'll go kick bricks.
Not just that, but that. They have not given me consent to pursue.
Consent.
Exactly. Your world's all about consent. I get that.
So what would you classify yourself as, John? Personally, when you're not on camera.
Personally, I'm more on the dominant side. But you know what? I would love. I'm not getting pegged or anything like that. Don't take it that way. But I would love if I could find like an aggressive female that would like just grab me by the throat and say, "I'm gonna go, give me that dick." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, we can do that." Or give me, a, you know, it's like I would love that. But I'm always because I'm bigger in stature and the way I present myself, like I have a big personality. So it's like I'm always in the dominant fashion, and I get what he's saying because I understand mentality. Because right now I'm talking to a female who's submissive and like, you know, you gotta play the role and everything. And I get that. And I like it, but you know, every now and then I would love to find an alpha female that could just like, you know what I mean? Just get like randomly.
Just grab me by the hand,
grab me by the dick, give me a big kiss. Because when you're always in control,
like
sometimes it's fun to lose it.
Yeah, like a switch.
Yeah, that would be the exact term. Cause I'm on FetLife. I heard you talking about that earlier. I don't use my porn name. Because I don't want that. I don't want those two worlds crossing over, and I don't want clout chasers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know what I mean? I don't want people like cheerleaders like coming for. It's like, oh, I fucked a porn star. No, I don't want that shit. I want you to like me for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah, well. FetLife's fun.
This was a question. I know you both are going to say yes, but real women and women writers who aren't a ton of experience want to know if you really do enjoy going down on a woman. Yes,
oh,
yeah. I ask.
I love eating pussy.
No question.
Yeah. From the tailbone to the clit, I'll lick y'all up and down.
I'm sorry, give me a minute.
I eat the butt.
Breathe.
I eat the pussy. Anything you want
breathe.
Me to
breathe.
That's
I'm
like
breathing.
I honestly I get more satisfaction when my partner comes and actually coming. It's weird. It's a weird thing I've always had. It's like, when I can make a woman
come. Oh, no, come, I get that.
That is like the greatest accomplishment in the world.
Oh, women around the world love to hear that.
Someone else that no, so you, if you could bring some, you could give happiness to someone that much when you see their eyes roll back at them, grit their teeth, or you know, whatever you do, whatever your fucking thing is, it's like that is like, wow, I did that. I feel like Santa Claus, you know, handing out orgasms.
Okay,
but,
you know, the next question for orgasm Santa Claus. That's what I want for Christmas. Can you really feel
Santa Claus? All kinds of fun things in that big red sack.
Hey, if you're a good girl, I make my list and I check it twice. If you're a good girl, I make my list and I check it twice. Maybe we can make it happen.
Good Lord. Oh, that's good. Stay with me, Mom. Santa Cop. Okay. Okay, next question. In the romance
Breath,
books,
wow, speechless.
Just a little bit. In the romance books, a big thing is to write about the G-spot. Now, statistically, few women have actually been able to find and stimulate the G-spot and come that way. Do you have experience finding it? Is it a thing? Have you been able to find it on women? What's your experience with that?
This sounds like a real rudimentary way to say it. I call it the upper ribs. You have to go in there. My dick has a curve in it. My dick has a curve and it curves up. I've been blessed with that. I don't have the biggest dick in the world, but I have a great curve. But so what you got to do when you're fingering, you have to go up and it's like you have to beckon them to you. It's like, you know, with your fingers, like, come here. Like that. You put, like, I usually use the index finger and the middle finger, and you bring, and you're like, you're, you touch it on the top and you bring it back to you.
So that must mean yes, you have found it.
That's just
it.
My method.
That must mean yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, I've been blessed. Like I said, my dick has a natural curve that goes up. So that too.
That too. How about definitely you, Hans?
Not a myth.
That too.
Not a myth, huh?
Yes. Not a myth.
Oh,
you know, fingers, yes. Toys.
Not a myth.
Yeah. What? And you know when you find it. There is no question.
Yeah, they literally feel like, that's why I call them upper ribs. They literally feel like little ribs. Like when little you ribs. When you find it, it's yeah. Like it feels like just yeah.
That's different because in the books it's usually the soft spongy part. I've never heard it called little ribs.
It's more
that's interesting.
Ridges.
Ridges, huh?
Yeah, it's like
I did not know
feel
that.
Your rib cage. It feels like
I
that.
I did not know that.
Well, okay. That is new information. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Someone's going searching tonight.
No.
No. I'm coming down the chimney.
Yeah.
Santa's coming down the chimney tonight.
Okay. Next question. I already asked that one. Can you? I've asked this before, and they said yes. But can you feel when a girl orgasms on your fingers and your cock?
Without a rubber, yes.
Without a rubber, huh?
With a rubber, no.
Good to know. How about you, Hans?
And then if she's a squirter, of course you're gonna, you know.
Have you?
But no, it's like. A natural, like, orgasm. Go ahead, ma'am. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to ask you, have you really encountered squirters? Because that's pretty rare too.
Oh. It's a technique.
It's a technique.
It's every woman can squirt. It's no, seriously, it's a technique. Every woman can squirt. It's a technique. And I love it. I'll get down there and I'll drink that shit.
Oh, good to know.
Like, no, I'm dirty. I'm a dirty birdie. What are you gonna do?
No, it's okay because that's what I
we are.
We are. Yeah, thank you, man. Hans, I understand what you're coming from too.
I write about the dirtier end. My you know, some of my reviews on my books have been like, this is the dirtiest thing I've ever read in my life. Okay.
I gotta read more of your work.
No.
So if you check out this New Jersey company I work with called Intimacy Productions. If you look at the video I did with Kendra Hart, and if you look at the video I did with Anastasia Rose, it has me in there drinking their squirt. Like
I believe
like it's
it.
A holy grail.
It. Why would you lie?
It's you know, it's just because it's like it because some women, like vanilla women, they might feel a little awkward when they do it. So if you like show them that it doesn't bother you, and that the most extreme technique, you know, obviously is by drinking it, then it puts them at ease.
That was probably, you know, added that into that probably, question was, you know, isn't it disgusting? Question. But you guys don't make it sound disgusting at all. So I think that's been answered.
No, I love it.
The next thing is, and I, can you feel yourself when you're getting hard? It's, you know, you're thinking, think about writers. We're trying to describe what a guy, when he's attracted to, attracted to his heroine, what it feels like when he's getting hard. So if you can give me as many descriptive words as you can, that would be great.
I'll let Hans go first.
Think adjectives.
Adjectives. All right.
And verbs, yes.
Swelling. And verbs. There's definitely that. Pleasurable. There's like a tightness. I guess it would vary depending on if you were wearing clothes or not.
And let me ask you a question. Clothes, do you ever get hard just smelling like, someone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, smell is a big one.
Sometimes, like, you know, the perfume, it's like, it's a Victoria's Secret one. It smells like almost like pine. For some reason, when I smell a woman that has that, I'll get an instant chub.
I didn't know that. That's in, well, I
and
knew
I'm sorry
that men
to cut you
get,
off, sir.
I knew that men could get aroused from thing. Anything, but it's neat. It's interesting that scent would be a trigger. That's cool. Any more
the
words?
Scent is one of your biggest triggers.
More words.
Any more descriptive words for what it feels like, or is that all you got? It's okay.
Yeah, that's all I got off the top of my head.
It's okay. For women, when we women writers, when we say that they're aroused, it's usually tingling and they're wet, and that's it. So you're doing pretty good. How about you, Johnny? Do you have any descriptive words to describe what it feels like when you get hard?
This is the best I could do for you. Mr. Hands has hit the big ones. So I'm going to try to just, you know, maybe go on a tangent a little bit. You feel primal. It's like when you see something that you want and that person can make you that aroused. What he said with the throbbing and the swelling and the excitement. When you see something that you want and you can, you smell it, you see her, you just know that you want her. It's like just like pure caveman primal. And
there's definitely a mental aspect.
What he was saying, like, of course, it's like, it's a huge mental aspect. For instance, I worked with a beautiful girl. In pornography, we just had zero connection, and it was like I lost erection, and that's very embarrassing because you're supposed to be, you know, a male performer, you know. So I had to take a Viagra and get back in the game. But it was just like, if you don't have that connection with someone, like if you don't have that primal, if you don't have that like instant lust for someone, it's like it's sometimes it just doesn't work. You know, I mean, it is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, thank God that we're in the 21st century and we have pills, we have shots, whatever, we can make it happen. But it's like, I was dating this beautiful girl, but she had a scent. It didn't, the vagina didn't stink, but there was just some kind of scent that turned me off. Her hormones turned me off. So it was just like, it was almost like a chore to have sex.
Oh, no. I had somebody else. Is he here? I had somebody else who told me about that, that he really liked the girl, but she just didn't smell right to him. And that actually makes sense.
It was just something about her pH. I don't know.
Yeah, it just didn't gel with you. And that is that the same with you, Hans? I mean, like have you had that kind of experience?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I've noticed that it's not just the scent itself. You know, it's also the mentality that goes along with it. You know, knowing the person. And knowing what kind of a person they are, the scent is a trigger that reminds you of all those things.
Okay.
Right, exactly.
It becomes like you can agree with me on this.
Go ahead, Johnny.
And you can agree with me on this because you're more of in a dominant role than I am. But if you say, like I said, say outside of the dom sub world, outside of the porn world, if you just meet a vanilla at a bar and you guys are having fun, whatever, he's like, wow, I really like her. But then you get into the bedroom And it's like, no, don't choke me. No, don't spit in my mouth. No, don't smack my ass. No, don't pull my hair. It's like, the fuck is wrong with you? I had one girl tell me, like, I only like missionary. I was like, you know, I'm pretty good at this. We can do other positions. She's like, no, I just like missionary. I was like, all right, I'm leaving. I left.
That was a question.
I don't ever get into that situation in the first place because I talk about all these things.
He's a lot more careful. But that was one of the questions, is like, how important is sex in a relationship?
Oh, very important.
95%.
Yeah.
95%.
I'd say it's 95%. If you don't have good sex with someone, then there's no reason to be with them, because like sex is like one of your needs as a person.
Okay. I can take that. I had a pastor once who told me this will make sense in reverse. He said, if your sex is good, it's what, 5% of your marriage. If your sex is bad, it's 95% of your marriage. So it's the same thing in reverse. If it's not good, it's going to affect everything.
Yeah, and it does.
See, I get bored very easy if you're not kinky. So it's like, I've been in the adult industry for 2 years now. I was a swinger for 8 years before I got into the adult industry. So I've done everything that a straight male can do. And it's like, I need that next level. It's like a drug addict. You start off maybe doing marijuana, you do coke, and you whatever.
You know what you like.
Well, that too. But then it's like, you have to elevate yourself up. It's like every time you need a new high. You need a new high. What can I do now? What can I do now? What can I do now? And it's like, if you're just fucking laying there and like,
do you worry about that for long-term relationships?
Say again, ma'am.
Do you worry about that for long-term relationships? Do you want a long-term relationship?
For a long-term relationship, I'm talking to a female performer. She's more in a fetish scene right now. And we're vibing. Like, I mean, we're really, really vibing. I'm excited to see her next weekend. I'm going to drive down to Orlando. But it's like, for a long-term relationship, I have to have someone who's a nut job like me. You know, I have to have someone who's on my level.
Yeah.
Or it's not going to work. You know, it just won't, because like, I want to choke you. I want to tie you up. I want to whip you. I want to spit in your mouth. I want, you know, blah, blah, blah. I want to do all this shit. But it's like, if you're not into it, then
and you want someone that wants that too.
I'm not going to sit there and hold your hands at a Luke Bryan. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I don't want to force someone to do it. I want someone who wants me to do it. You're exactly right, Hans.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. And if there's any female listeners out there, I'm still on the market.
Because of that.
You're still on the market, but you know. Yeah, there will be some female listeners, I'm sure. A lot of the writers that asked questions and, you know, on Twitter and stuff, I'm sure this will go out and people will be listening. The next question, and this is important too, I need as many adjectives and verbs as you can use, is what does it feel like when you orgasm? You know, I'm asking you to think deep, and like, women are like, we need 20 words for the one thing. Come doesn't do it.
Explosion.
Happiness. Going up the spine.
Yes, that's a better one. Connection.
Yep.
It's almost like if you're with someone you really like and you come, it's almost like Avatar when you connect the little things together.
Intensity that happens, and then after, there's a sense of peace.
Tranquility.
Ah, nice.
Yes, that's a great one.
Yeah, so someone, I'll tell you right now, after I come, I can get robbed by a 12-year-old Girl Scout because I have no energy. It's like, I'm like Samson when he cut off his hair. It's like, after I come, I'm dead to the world for like 10 minutes. I can't move. I come really intense. I can't move. It's like I'm crippled. I feel like the Metallica 1 video, that guy, you know, he's sitting there like, it's just the most, as a man, it's the most amazing feeling you can have in your life.
So Hans, is it the
I
same?
I feel for bad you? For my my grandma's Sears catalog when I was 12. Sears catalog. Used to have the girls in the lingerie.
She's never getting those pages open again.
Oh no.
Yeah. They're like super glue, rubber cement.
Hands, is the sensation of tranquility and relaxation the same for you?
Yes, absolutely.
So when you're working a scene, then
I think the big difference between me and Johnny would be I actually have energy afterwards. You know, when I come, I'm not done.
You're lucky.
Not even close.
Oh, that's good. You're not even close.
I need a cold glass of water in 10 minutes.
At least you need just 10 minutes. That's
the water is a good idea. Yeah, but I'll take a swig and then go for the toys.
There
you go. Ice cold water in 10 minutes.
Because, you know, I know a lot of women who they come and they've been started. So, you know, it's always good for to know, you know, in a relationship where the guy is at. Hansway, if you're working a scene though, and you have like, you know, doing a with your sub or something and having time with her, do you even you have a good recovery time? You're fine, you're ready to go, and you still have energy, so you're still ready to keep her going.
Well, I wouldn't say I have a good recovery time. My recovery time is maybe half an hour.
Okay,
but your energy level time. Is there.
Okay, your energy level is there. You don't need a nap. I'm not, a 10-minute nap.
Exhausted. Right, exactly.
That's good. So, you guys have been so good. Derek, have you got any questions? In my mind was a JCPenney.
You know, I love you to death. Let me tell you that.
What?
Seriously, ever since you joined Twitter, you've been one of my favorite people ever. I'm so glad to hear your voice.
You are one of my favorite people. I tell everybody all the time that I have a very pearl-clutching background. And when I got on Twitter and I'm selling my book and stuff, I don't know how I ended up following you and stuff. You're so, so kind. And so I'm always talking about you. Oh, yeah, no. He's all the time. Because I'm so proud. You know, here I am. I come from this kind of background that is very moralistic and stuff. And look, I met this incredible guy who's just fun and goofy and just great looking and just sweet and adorable.
My problem is online. I come from a generation where we had to call people on the phone. We had to meet people in places. So I suck at online stuff. I'm more of a people person. And then it's like when people like just look at my pictures, they get a perception that I'm just some goon without a brain. You know what I mean? It's like, it's, you know, they look at me a piece of meat sometimes. And it's like, that's fine. You can materialize me. I'm cool with that. But it's like, sometimes people think that I'm just like, are you just saying I'm an idiot, you know, but I'm not. And that's I had a girl, I went on a date with a girl one time and she said, wow, you're a lot smarter than what I thought you were going to be. So I just walked and left. I was like, all right, bye.
No, I have never had that perception of, you know, you mug for the camera because you're having a good time or maybe half drunk, but you know,
it's part of the persona too.
Yeah. And you're just, it's just, I that never you would, I mean, come on. No, you're not. I don't, I wouldn't even, and you're all over the world all the time and you're managing your day job and your nightlife. And that takes some brains there too. So, that's all.
I'm sure just the time management is killing.
Yeah.
Setting I'm telling up your... you right now, Twitter's a full-time job.
Setting up your gigs and going back and forth and conventions and work and everything. And yeah, oof. I can't even imagine. Okay. So I've asked that and I've asked, I want to make sure male orgasm. I asked that. No questions. These guys are great. We are
think of something off the cuff. Think of something off the cuff.
Something off the cuff.
what do you want to know?
Oh, what do I what are your
turn-offs? Yeah, what do you want to know personally?
Just tell me. This was one of the questions I need to make sure I get to. What are your turn-offs? If they're you've already said like a smell that just doesn't gel with you, not necessarily a good or a bad smell, but it just doesn't gel with you. But what are other turn-offs with women, even if it's like in conversation, if they're always talking about their pet or somebody asks
intelligence level
or the intelligence. Okay, there you go. Hands.
Yeah, that's one.
I can't.
I would also say Go ahead.
I that's number one. I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say personality is really big with me. Whether they're kind, whether they're, you know, giving. That's huge in my book. If you're very self-centered or very, you know, kind of off-putting in your personality, very abrasive, that is huge turnoff. Not interested in that at all.
Okay. That's good. Jack Kimmer, back to you. So intelligence. Now, wait. Sorry, hands. Let me go back. How much has that changed through your life from when you were young to now?
Not much.
Oh, good.
Okay. Me or hands.
In that aspect.
I'm coming back to you in a minute, Jack.
I've pretty much always been that way.
Okay. Okay, so Johnny, you said intelligence, and I like that. What else? What else is a turnoff?
I kind of agree with Mr. Hans. He hit a nail on the head, like how your personality is. It's like if we don't vibe, it's like if you don't have like the kind of traits that I'm seeking for in a partner, then we're like if you're too self-centered, if you're too egotistical. I mean, I like someone who's cocky and who's confident, but I don't like someone who just thinks the sun goes down and sets in their ass. It's like.
Yeah,
confidence is completely different, and I agree with you. And I love confidence. Like I hate to death when someone asks you, "Are you okay? Are you fine? Are you fine? Are you okay? Are you okay?" It's like Jesus Christ! I told you I was fine. All right, take it easy. Like I can't deal with someone that has low confidence. You need to be secure.
Yeah,
secure. I mean, but like I said, intelligence is number one. Yeah. You need to be secure in yourself. Like, because if you're not secure in yourself, I can't handle you asking me if I'm okay 50 times a day.
Go ahead, Hen.
I don't mind if someone has low confidence.
Go ahead, Hen.
You know, that's something that you can work with someone on. You know, you can help them.
That's the Dom side of you, bro. I enjoy that.
Yeah, you want to train and take care of and, you know, teach.
Exactly.
It's like the military. You break them down and build them up. I get you.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's...
I completely understand what you're saying, brother.
Yeah, but confidence is good. So what would be... Now, I know that you have worked with all different sizes of models, Johnny, but do you have a... Is there a type that, like a body type that would turn you on versus turn you off?
I would say I don't... It's weird because there really isn't. You can be a BBW. You can be a skinny lady. You could be in the between. I don't look at that. If I look at a woman is
how
her
they
eyes.
Carry themselves.
It's how they carry themselves. Yes, 100%. I don't have a type. But like I said, but personally, my favorite woman is a Latina. Like they drive me crazy. I don't know why. It's like my kryptonite. But I don't have a type. It's like I could date a gothic girl, I could date a preppy girl, I could date any girl. But it's like if we have a connection, we have a connection. It's just that's what my buddies always asked me. He was like, oh, you know, he's like, you always have all this sex with all these girls. Like I was like, yeah, I do, but it's just like you have to find the right one who you just vibe with, who you click. I don't care if you're 300 pounds or 100 pounds. If I don't click with you, then it's not going to happen. It's, you know, if you can't, like I said, it goes back to the intelligence thing. If I can't hold a conversation with you, if the only thing you know about is what's in Cosmo, then I got nothing for you.
How about you? Hands kind of the same. Kind of the same. That is, I know that we're talking about writers and, because we're writing romance, but. I know that women in general, we have a hard time believing that. So it's really neat that all four guests have told me the same thing, basically.
Oh, men deal with that same thing.
What?
Men are the most insecure people on earth.
Totally insecure.
Okay, so when it's in the book.
I'm in pretty good shape, but I look in the mirror and I pick myself apart.
What?
Yeah, we all do that.
I pick every part of myself apart. It's horrible. It's horrible. I stand in the mirror and I look at myself. Oh, you can work on this. You can do that better. You can do this better. But you don't let that out to people, because we've been, as men, we've been told we have to be strong. We have to be tough. Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean? So you don't really let those feelings out.
That is
yeah, exactly. Like, you know what I mean? Like Brutus, the Stoic.
Well, I know what you've been taught, but it's still, it's a good answer. It's different from what's in romance in general. General men have so much confidence that they don't ever second guess themselves. They're not looking in the mirror, caring one way or another. They're not tearing themselves apart like women do. And so it's also really neat that all four guests told me
we tear ourselves apart.
Yeah.
Do you?
We just don't do it when the women are around.
The most confident man you. Yeah, the most confident man you see at the bar is the most insecure.
Is that your experience?
He's so confident that he's hiding his insecurities behind his confidence.
Exactly. He's covering. He's using it as a cover for his insecurities.
Huh. Exactly. That's, I do that. I walk in there like I own the place, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, "Wow, what do my shoes look like? How's my jeans? Like, what are these people thinking?" I walk in there like I'm the cock of the walk, but I got 1,000 thoughts going through my head. It's like, "Oh, I hope they like me." It's like I'm like the, I feel like a court jester sometimes. It's all, you know, I'm a performer.
That is an interesting answer. I say this all the time. So, yes, I see you guys in the chat all the time. Yes. Interesting character stealing this too. That is cool. So I'm going to ask you, so you wanted to ask personal questions. I'll ask you. I have been, since I've been online, I've had several people tell me that I am very intense. And my intensity in life has actually scared people away. I did not date a lot when I was young because I was also very passionate, intense, and intense then as well. So what do you, when you meet... Okay, so I'm big in life, I'm loud, I am bold, and I do not have a lot of things that make me afraid. In fact, when I'm afraid of something like this, that might make me insecure, I do it anyways. So if you met a woman like that...
So my question is, are you single?
I'm too old for you, unfortunately. I'm 51, and I'm way across the country. But yeah, when I was younger, when you met somebody like that, I know other women that are also, you know, strong and not necessarily, I would say confident, but they're also just bold and they're not afraid and they're willing to go on adventures and they will look a man in the eye and ask the, you know, I can ask 20 questions of any guy I meet within 10 minutes. That's usually the overwhelming part because I write really fast. That's usually the one that scares them off on Twitter anyways. You know, somebody comes into my DMs to do something and I've got 20 questions waiting for them that have nothing to do with what they want to talk about. So and then they don't come back because that's why I don't get a lot of that, because they can't stand the heat. So you've already said you like a lot of confident women, but hands, and you know, and you've dealt pretty well with me too. That's pretty awesome. But when have you met intense women, and how do you respond when you meet somebody who's just fearless?
I have no problem with that whatsoever. Because fearless women are generally open with who they are and confident, and they're fine with it. I've noticed other men having problems with confident women that have issues with themselves.
It goes back to the insecurity.
Right. That goes back to how insecure are you? If you're very insecure with yourself and you want to keep, you know, all of your insecurities close to your chest, a confident woman is threatening because she's not that way. You know, I'm not that way at all. I'd like to lay it all out on the table and say, this is me. So yeah. I have no problem with a confident woman.
Yeah, I like to lay it all out on the table in the first 10 minutes so that if it's going to be over, I want to know. I don't want to waste time. I don't got time for that. So, and I'm not afraid to say, you know,
I love confident women.
Well, we love you too, Johnny.
The mental aspect, the mental, like I call it mind sex. I'd rather sit there and play chess with you and have a deep conversation than fuck you. Because it's like you get to a point in life where, don't get me wrong, I love sex. I love it. But it's like, that's not, you know, it's sex is good, but when you're done, if you can't talk to someone, if you can't talk to someone after, say, it's like, oh, that was great. Let's go pick apples. It's like, no, I don't want to do that. No, it's just a stupid example, but you know what I mean? It's like you have to really, for me, it's like, I love conversation. If you couldn't tell, I'm a chatterbox. But no, I would, sometimes I would rather find someone that I could have a deep conversation with over a glass of wine, you know, and just sit there and just pick their brain apart, never pick their own brain apart, not be afraid to ask me questions.
That's awesome.
That's nice. And then being able to be with someone and not feel compelled to have to ask questions or have to talk, just being together and being comfortable.
Yes.
That's a huge thing. You know,
I always think my questions scare people away. It does. It's pretty effective.
Can we lie in the grass and look at the stars?
Oh, always. But, you know.
Well, you can put a star projector on so you don't get bit up by bugs.
My goodness. Texas, you have been in some buggy places, both of you. So, yeah, exactly. Texas has bug plagues. I don't know. In the South, bug plagues. You people, I don't know.
How. Fire ants.
I'm in Charleston, South Carolina right now.
You got bug plague, mosquitoes, and just the kissing bugs. Chiggers. And ugh.
The no-see-ems are the worst. They're little gnats that
scorpions.
Bite.
Those are pretty bad. I think the chiggers are probably the worst.
The chiggers.
If you don't mind me asking, what part of Texas are you in?
Austin. I'm in Austin.
Oh, okay. Oh, I've been to Dallas, San Antonio, and Houston. Okay. I've never been to Austin, but if I ever go there, I'll look you up, brother.
Yeah, that'd be
boy,
cool.
You guys getting together for a drink, that would be hilarious. I want a video of that.
I would love to go with him and take a woman to one of his dungeons or something like that. That would be fantastic.
Oh, I do not have a dungeon.
But you do. Where do you do your scenes? So when you go on a weekend and you're being
wherever.
With your sub hands, wherever, because you're kind of more rural.
Yes, I live out in the hill country.
Yeah.
And I like it that way. I'm not a big person for crowds.
Yeah, I don't like traffic, so.
I get that. Don't get me wrong.
I hate to drive.
When I was big in the swing scene, like I would do anything in front of anyone. But what if I'm really intimate with someone? I like it to be a more one-on-one thing, because even with swinging, the husband's watching. So there's limits. It's like, but because you don't want to. This guy's nice enough to let you have sex with his wife while he watches. But you can't go over the top. I'm not saying over top is bad, but if you're with someone on a one-on-one basis, you can get a lot more intimate and you could do a lot more things. It's like you can't have
especially if you
in the swing community, so you can't really, as a single guy, you can't really make love. It's like there's no cuddling. Right. There's no there's no kissy cat stuff, as I like to call.
Aw, that sounds not fun.
They bring you in, it's like you're like
you're the bull, you're the piece of meat. Yeah,
it's entirely different, and you can talk about what the person's limits and needs and wants are ahead of time, so you don't cross any lines accidentally, and you can push things as far as you could possibly go.
That would not be my scenario.
Yeah, I hear you, but at the same time, when you're in the heat of the moment, when you're in the heat of the moment, you maybe like at the same time, you gotta remember this guy's, her husband's in the room, so you can't do anything that may upset
him. Yeah, I couldn't do that.
Even when you're in the heat of passion, it's like sometimes it's tough, bro. It's tough. Don't even let people think, oh my god, when I was heavy in the swing, so you're having sex with all these guys' wives. I was like, but yo. Sometimes I want to cuddle, but you don't get that. It's like, hey, all right, thanks for the ride. I'll see you later. See you next week.
You know,
it's like, oh, okay. So you get back in your truck and you drive home, you're sitting there, and you sleep alone.
That is, that's harsh, man.
Even with porn. Even with porn, it's like after a scene, you're not dating. That's not your girlfriend. And that's what a lot of guys, I can't, because I don't know enough people in the industry. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's, that is the best thing.
So afterwards, you got someone to cuddle with. Yeah.
Men need aftercare too. Yeah, men need aftercare too.
That's really cool.
We're not just barbaric beasts.
That's
something that we talk about a lot in BDSM.
Men need aftercare. That is
Men need aftercare.
Yeah, no, it's nice to hold someone and then tell you.
Women.
Yeah.
I have never
hold someone after. Yes, like you hold someone after. You know, it's great.
Yeah, yeah, no, but it's not. I mean, I get it. I write it that way. Yeah, well, no, just say I write it that way. But in general, it's not. I don't write it with that perspective in mind that men need aftercare. I just write it because, you know, that cuddling time and that connection time and that that review time is kind of fun to have in a book. But it's neat that you brought that up, that men would need aftercare after something really intense or intense experience. That's cool.
Yeah, especially if they've done something wrong.
Like, hands, you're more in some way.
Especially if they've done something wrong.
You're more the dom side than I am, even though.
Oh yeah. Yeah, if you've done something like accidentally crossed a barrier or a limit or something like that, push things a little too far, you feel guilty. You feel shame. You need aftercare.
Yes.
You need them to say, no, no, it's okay. You know. Yeah. Just like a sub needs aftercare after a very intense.
No, so I'm a Virgo.
A dom
so
needs
I'm a perfectionist
as well.
Oh, so how does that work in your sex life, being a perfectionist? In your sex
life, being a because I want to do everything the right way. And what he was saying, even as a dom, you need to know, hey, what do you like? What don't you like? What did I do? How can I do it
exactly
better?
Exactly. Feedback.
Communication is key.
Being a dom is all about learning.
Communication is the. Being a dom is all
about learning. I don't see enough of that in the books. Yeah,
you don't see doms in the books spending hours studying anatomy and psychology and different techniques. And, you know, that
have you done that? I mean,
totally
somebody.
It's funny that you say psychology. Psychology is the biggest part.
Yeah,
because it's sad. But if you here you go, iceberg slim. You guys, if you know him, you know him. If you don't, you know. Iceberg Slim was a famous pimp in New York. Or no, he wasn't New York. I think he was in Chicago or L.A. And if you read his book, he's better than Sigmund Freud. This man, don't get me wrong, I'm not praising him for what he did as being a pimp. But as far as his level of psychological intelligence, this man knew how to talk to everyone in any situation, how to get people, how to manipulate people to do what you want them to do.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not praising him, but it's like, BDSM, but psychology is like the biggest part of BDSM.
Right. In BDSM, there's a lot of mental manipulation that goes on, but it's consensual. You know, you make sure that
yes,
mental
exactly.
manipulation is something that your submissive wants. And then, you know, you can move on from there. But like the pimp you were describing, it was not consensual with him. So
no,
that falls under the abuse category.
No. Like once again, I'm not praising him. I'm not praising him for what he did. But I'm just saying, as far as his intelligence level, how he understood psychology of people was
right. Yeah,
this guy could have been anything you wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah. That's that. The psychology of it. The that somebody asked about that. You know, the hands. The
somebody asked about that.
Talk about your, the psychology aspect and the mental, what did you call it? I don't want to say mental manipulation, but the, I can't remember.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay. So it, explain that to me. What does that mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Well, first, in order to do any kind of mental manipulation, which would be like creating a situation where the submissive has a limited number of choices and you've already planned out the outcomes of all those choices that lead the submissive into more choices, which lead them in the exact direction you want them to go, whatever that is. But in order to do that, you have to really understand them as a person, what drives them, what motivates them, what their insecurities are. You know, really understanding all of these things allows you to, you know, either manipulate them in some way in a BDSM fashion, or what I like to do is actually use it to lift them up, to make them feel better about themselves, to reinforce good behaviors, to, you can use it for a lot of very positive things, but it can also be negative as well. And I don't use it that way, but there are DOMs that do, and there are subs that enjoy that. And as long as it's consensual, then it's fine.
It's something as easy as saying good girl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that can be a huge thing to a certain type.
Good girl goes a long way.
Yes, it does. So stop saying it.
You're a good girl.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Oh, you're such a tease, Tony.
I'll be 100% honest. I can't answer the question any better than what he did.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. That's good. You guys have been so great. I am going to go ahead and let you go. We've been on an hour and a half, and you have answered pretty much all my questions, although I could probably keep talking. I mean, just getting your life experiences and
getting all of that. Whatever you want.
You ever text me anytime?
I will. I absolutely will. I have had a great
apologize time. For my tardiness.
Oh, I forgive you. Yeah. And not telling, because I didn't tell you about the earbuds. I should have. I think I told Hans, but I didn't tell you. So it has been fantastic. You have been both been really great and so helpful. You have answered a lot of questions for the writers and for me as a woman, too, because, you know, and some of them are a really big deal, like what attracts men. We all think it's because we don't look like models, you know, that we need to look like a model to get anybody attention and to just, you know, that it's personality and all that other stuff. It's just really great for books and for people, I think.
Really, I think that if more people understand
I'll put this out there real quick. If any of the listeners or any of the fellow female writers ever have any questions, feel free to DM me on Twitter.
And he's a sweetie, too. You should just be bold because not be afraid by his awesome bare chest and great smile.
Yeah, I'm always happy to answer questions. If anybody
you're so nice.
Out there and just wants someone that can actually understand that's been there, just DM me or, you know, pop into any of my threads, whatever.
Hans, you have been so sweet, and I want to encourage people to go and check out his writing and your poetry and
buy my books.
Yes, buy the books. Buy some porn if you're porn.
Buy porn.
Hans, are you on Twitter?
He is.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll find you.
Thank
DM
you,
me,
gentlemen.
Man. I would actually like to read some of your books because I'm sorry, ma'am. Have a nice
go
evening.
Ahead. No, wait. You can finish. Go ahead and finish your conversation. I won't cut go you ahead. Off.
No, wait. You can finish.
No, if Hans, if you're on Twitter, please DM me. I would actually like to read some of your books because I am not on your level as a Dom, and I would like to be there one day. So if you could DM me and if you have something to read, some kind of some kind of literature, I would love to check it out.
But
your website, will, won't you?
I'll, I'll send you a link to my blog. Website, yeah. That's got a lot of good information on it. And if you have questions at all, feel free to,
thank you, sir.
I'm happy to answer.
Good Lord. Are you from the South? Is that that sir and ma'am there?
I appreciate that.
That's so sweet.
I was military 6 years.
Oh, there you go. That's it.
I grew up with a really strict mother. So.
Oh, there you go. That's it. That's it. That's what it is. When my nephew got out of the military, everything was sir and ma'am. Thank you guys so much again. And I don't know.
You're
I might need to do this again, but I absolutely appreciate it. You have a good evening. I know
I will come on anytime you ask.
Oh, no. Well, I might be asking again. Thank you so much. You have a good evening.
You too.
You too, ma'am. Thank you.
This has been Isabel and Wright's Grown Up Storytime, and we have been talking about women writing men, and we have had two amazing guests. I am so pleased. I learned some stuff. And I was very happy to learn it. I learned some stuff about some more stuff about men, even though, you know, everybody would think some of the answers would be different, but that they were kind of the same, that not every guy is playing six level chess, that men are not always as confident as they appear, that they like women for different reasons, and it isn't always the obvious physical attributes. It's something that we maybe should add a little bit more to our books. So I hope you have a great evening, a great day. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, your story is important and it has value.